You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. And it's our Friday together, and I'm looking out the window, and it's sometimes I'm above the fog, and sometimes I'm in the fog. And, Jim, you know, sometimes I think one might, when it comes to the markets, one might be in the fog from time to time.
Well, hopefully we can navigate our way through this. And our first order of business, some questions from our frequent questioner, Michael. Hello, Jim and Bob. Financial pundits say we're in the early stages of a commodity boom, even though stock markets appear to be peaking. Bob, I'm confused. If a serious stock market correction or crash occurs, then one would usually assume an economic slowdown or recession will follow, resulting in less demand for commodities.
Yep, that's got it. Michael, you got it there, yeah. The commodity bulls are bullish all of the time, and they're always calling for this great, fabulous bull market for commodities, and we have been in an absolutely outstanding inflation in commodity prices. And that has run for, well, you just take a look, another way of looking at it is the Consumer Price Index, and your $100 in 1914, will only buy about $3 worth of stuff now. And that's disappearing very fast. So it has been reckless and stupid central banking thinking that every recession is going to be a depression. Therefore, we have to prevent recessions. And by doing that, they're always humping the money supply, and then you get the inflation. That's the way it works.
Also, Michael goes on to say, economic contradictions usually mean deflation, but the financial gurus are predicting hyperinflation and monetary collapse. Bob, what's really going on here with this anticipated commodity boom?
Yeah, what we are in, is a boom in financial assets. Huge, no, I'm going to add that. A huge inflation in financial assets. That's stocks and bonds. And there was a huge inflation in financial assets way back with the dot-com bubble. And then it turned very bad. But the real one would be the last big great inflation in financial assets culminated in 1929. And then the previous great one, financial bubble, completed in 1873. And, well, let's go back. 1873. 1825 was a great, fabulous bubble, out of London, which had then become the world's financial center. Then 1772 was one, and of course 1720 was the South Sea bubble, and that is the one where the big speculation included stock prices. And there are some wonderful quotes from back there, and but it was the same old thing. They were falling in love with new stories. One of them was there was a new way of making sailcloth, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyways, you had these fabulous great financial bubbles, and when they fail, and let's face it, this one really has had legs lately, and I'm just saying that when they fail, the bust can be severe. So, and we're, of course, watching for, we're getting lots of positive sentiment, and the public is coming into the stock market, and so we're just watching the technicals for a potential huge peak in stock market speculation.
Also, Michael goes on to say, central bank purchases may have provided a floor under gold declines as gold has become a tier one asset. But what about silver? Bob, is the retail investor in silver correct in considering it a monetary metal, or is silver more of an industrial metal that is still subject to supply and demand and less to monetary devaluation?
You're a silver enthusiast. It can't get out of supply-demand analysis. And every year, silver has a shortage of supply. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, every year, silver's going to go up. And now what they, and I'm sure it's a refusal, they refuse to look at, is what silver does in a great financial bubble speculation, or any major bull markets in the past. Silver has the a financial aspect to it. So now we're watching silver. My colleague Ross Clark has got the chart on it, and this one is getting lots of straight up, but you still can't sort of call the top. But once this rolls, breaks, then silver will be a financial item and signaling that the party is beginning to come apart. Let's put it that way.
Now, Michael goes on to say, silver is always assumed to be in short supply, but it still declined to under $12 an ounce in the 2020 market crash, while gold had a relatively small correction compared to the overall markets. Bob, how will silver perform relative to gold and commodities in the next market downturn?
The silver will fall relative to gold. And one of the nice patterns out there is the gold's real price. And you, because you know, through a good portion of the 1800s, the pound sterling was on gold standard. So then there was apparently no change in the price. But actually, when you deflate it by the consumer price index, you end up with the real price, and it goes goes up very nicely in the post-bubble depression. And the way I explain that is that it's on one side you have all of the crazy instruments of credit crashing, which is a huge deflationary effort. And then Mother Nature raises the real price of gold, and that then makes gold mining more profitable. And a better way of explaining it is I use the gold divided by the CRB commodity index and assume that the CRB is a proxy for mining costs. So if you have mining costs falling relative to the price of gold, the miners are making more money. And yet when you look at the gold community, they always talk about gold's price in dollar terms. Now, how do you get profitability out of that? You can't. You absolutely can't get it. So you, as I say, gold divided by the CPI and gold divided by CRB, which is even better, And yeah, we had a big rush, and it's sort of having a bit of a correction here, but I would suggest that we're in a long-term, when it actually starts, it's going to, the post-bubble contraction can be of many, many years. The recessions will be more severe than the recoveries. The recoveries will be quite weak. Central bankers will be seen to be absolutely ineffective. And that is ahead of us. Once this rise that's on now ends, it goes into another world.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline from mining.com, AI to boost copper demand by 50% by 2040.
Oh, yeah. The high-tech story for copper. Copper is in a strong bull market. It's rising, and it's not over yet. But, you know, they've got these headlines of people stealing copper wire. Mm-hmm. Well, this isn't, you can get one like this where the damn fool robber of copper starts fooling around with one that's charged electricity. And they actually get, I remember headlines from years ago, they actually get fried trying to steal a metal copper wire when it's loaded with electricity. Well, we've got the headlines about guys stealing copper. I haven't seen one yet for a guy getting fried stealing copper, but I expect that'll happen.
That happened several years ago in Surrey, BC, yes.
Was it Surrey? Okay, yeah, good call, yeah.
Well, apparently, even though you don't have to read, the sign's pretty clear showing a guy getting shocked, but...
Oh, yeah, they got a good image.
Yeah, it's a very scary image. But that wasn't enough, apparently.
Yeah.
From Zero Hedge, of course we're at all-time highs. That's what stocks do.
Yeah, I have to put that one in because the headline guy there was outstanding crafting of a headline.
Now, Russia's allies are complaining Putin was nowhere when it mattered most, and that came from Bloomberg.
Yeah, my thoughts on Russia and Putin is that when Russia can't make any money by selling industrial things. It just doesn't happen, but they make their money by selling crude oil. And if you go back to 2012 when the Chechnya, let's call it a war, was started, well, Putin, every time the price of crude oil is high, he will go to war. So my case is that crude oil came down. Remember, we were calling for the dismal lows around January, and yeah, we had a very good hit in crude oil. Now it's starting to recover, which is fine. But when it really gets hit, then Putin has no money. He's got no money to bribe the oligarchs in Moscow. And I think the public will rebel against him. And I think Putin's career then is over. So I'm looking forward to it.
Now, this headline from Zero Hedge, silver has left the building. Volume is broken. Ratios are crashing. Bubble alarms are screaming.
That says it very well, doesn't it, Jim? Yeah.
Now, do you think silver has peaked out, or it still has a lot of room to go?
We're watching, as we just mentioned, we're watching for silver to reach some sort of a peak, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, from Zero Hedge, in 2025, Germany saw bankruptcies hit 20-year high.
Yeah, that tells a story, doesn't it? Bankruptcies in supposedly boom times, and something not good there. Well, part of the problem is there's still far too much intrusion by the government into the economy in that part of the world. So, yeah, no, the government still has too strong a presence there, and the best thing to do is just government stand aside and let the private sector be prosperous. So.
And also, perhaps in Germany, I don't know if they have the same. Remember that saying, what's good for GM is good for America? Well, what's good for Volkswagen is good for Germany. Volkswagen struggling.
Yeah, I think a number of the car makers are, because they went off into Never Never Land with the fad for electric vehicles. And they, of course, you know, we've on this show, we've been condemning that fad for years now. And it's finally over. And Ford and GM are taking huge write-downs on the money they put into building plants for building these EVs. So they're getting their just desserts for getting on board a peculiar fad for electric cars.
And from the International Energy Agency, net zero costs could exceed £7 trillion. So double that for Canadian dollars.
Yeah. Well, net zero, of course, they've been describing carbon dioxide as emissions, and therefore this is what the threat. They turn a trace gas, first of all, it's just a trace amount in the atmosphere, and into a threat, and then they use that threat of global warming to bring in legislation that controls people. Now, there's been life on this very favorable planet for almost a billion years now. And if you go back through that history, you'll find that warming periods are very nice for life. And cold periods are not. I mean, just imagine the last ice age when you had ice right down to where Chicago is now. And if you were able to lift up a portion of that ice and look for life under it, not very much there. So ice ages are bad for society because it is a cooling period. And then the bits between, which we are sort of now, in between, we're in a nice warming period. It was quite a bit warmer in the Holocene maximum about 6,000-7,000 years ago. So that is the most incredible promotion in the world to get everybody believing that a warming trend is a threat to society. No way that it is. And then the next step is to the pitch that somehow they can regulate the amount of CO2, and that's going to change the climate. Well, I just tell these guys, okay, now show me you can change the weather. You know, let's start in a junior capacity. Show me you can change the weather, and then I'll let you go on about changing the climate. That's, of course, ironical.
Well, ice cores taken from Antarctica and from Greenland show that the Earth has a natural cycle of about 100,000 years of cold and 10,000 years of warm. We're lucky to be in that 10,000 years of warm.
Yeah, actually, a physicist that Nir Shaviv is his name, and he, at one time, many years ago, went along with the idea about global warming, and he said, he's quoted as saying, I just sort of went along with it because everybody was saying it, and then I took a look at it, and he's traced the changes in warming to cooling right at something like 35 million year cycle based upon cosmic rays coming in from outer space. So Forbush event is when you get a big solar flare, and then the number of hours it takes for particles to come from the sun, and then you have an effect on Earth. So you can run these cosmic rays and climate in an accelerator in a lab. You can look at Forbush events, and then you can look right out to the 100,000-year cycles, and then right out to 23-million-year cycle. And it's all there, quite cyclical, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. And the governments are just using the fear of CO2 to control your lives and get your taxes. So it's the same old, telling you what to do and using your tax money to force you what to do. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I think this is ending on the political intrusion by the overly ambitious.
Well, Bob, you'd probably agree that the biggest forces in climate change, solar activity, changes in the Earth's orbit, and volcanic activity, how do taxes affect any of those?
Yeah, give me your taxes and I'll change the climate. Sure. Yeah. That was a good one, Jim, yeah.
And before we go, Bob, you have a tale of working in the bush?
Yeah, this was up the Bridge River. It's into the dry country, sort of north and east from Vancouver. And I was heading up a survey party where the road, was just two-lane dirt road, was going to be raised above the new dam level. So our job was working on that, and we were going along a side hill and game trail. And it was a very steep slope below us, but all, you know, covered wonderfully with turf and grass and all that sort of stuff. Now, the steep slope gets into our story. So I found a comfortable place on the mountain to kind of stretch out while I was getting my notes up to date. And it was in the shade of a big limb from a very big ponderosa pine tree. And one of the guys says, "Bob, there's a bear above you." And I looked up, and the big branch was there, and I couldn't see any bear. And they insisted there was a bear there. So I got out from under the big branch, looked up. There was a bear there. By this time, the younger guy on our crew, Smitty, he starts crawling up the tree, climbing up the tree. And it was a young bear, it wasn't a big bear, it was a young bear. And the bear looks at this, and he's face snout down, and his hind legs are somehow getting onto the branches. So, and we're all shouting at Smitty to come down, and he keeps crawling up the tree. The bear keeps backing up the tree upside, backwards, and Smitty's going up, and the bear's going like this at him, and the bear keeps backing up, and Smitty keeps climbing at the tree, and then finally the tree had narrowed down to no branches, and the bear had no place to put his hind feet to climb any higher. And at that point, the bear decided to come down the tree. And came down very fast. Smitty tried to come down the tree, but the bear passed him going down the tree. Well, by this time it was fall down laughter. And as the bear went down, Smitty clawed his shirt and jeans, so he had some damage there. And that reached the bottom of the tree. And that steep slope I told you, the grassy steep slope, he kind of lost his balance and rolled all the way down the slope, hitting the flats. And then he was sort of dizzy for a bit, and then he got the hell out of there. So that's a bear story in our bull market.
Bob, always fun chatting with you, and I guess that's your tale about a bear market.
Why don't you title it that?
Bob, we'll chat with you next week.
Good deal. Yep. Okay, bye.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.